Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Today is November 25th, which frankly, I find kind of hard to believe. The past few months have felt like a blur, and now it's almost over. How are you holding up? Better than last year? Worse? Sometimes I like to think about November kind of like a reduction sauce. Everything in the year is boiled down into its most intense elements, for better and for worse, highlighting the sweet notes, bringing out the bitter ones as well, and all of it just sticking slightly to everything it touches. I don't know what it is exactly about this time of year, but as I reflected on this fall, I was struck by how hectic it seems like everything has been. It's not that anyone expects November to be calm, but this year in particular, it's felt easy to be overwhelmed. In addition to all that's happened in addition to the wake of the midterm elections, both celebratory and infuriating, there are once again raging forest fires, senseless shootings, and the ever-present, ever-renewing absurdity of the news cycle to contend with. Closer to home, the holidays have been in swing since October 23rd. And as autumn draws to a close, there are lists and ads and sales and deadlines and expectations and stress, not to mention it's getting colder and darker every day. And that was before Thanksgiving. If we were lucky this week, we had time off and a chance to spend it with family and loved ones. For others, the holidays may have been bittersweet. And for still others among us, the end of this week could not come soon enough because family has never been simple. In light of all that's going on, the weight of the world can be heavy, and it can feel like darkness is pressing in on us. And so as we gather for worship this morning, I wonder, what are you hoping for? In our church calendar, this Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of ordinary time, and traditionally this is a Sunday where we celebrate the vision of the reign of God that reshapes not only how we look at the world, but also the world itself. Doesn't that sound wonderful? It seems to me like right now the world could use a little inbreaking of the divine. Because as a matter of fact, as we press on, many of us are tired, and it can be hard to see the light and hope in and amidst all the darkness. So as we come to the gospel today, whatever else we bring to the table, I think it's safe to say the crucifixion story isn't the one we were hoping for. It's Christ the King Sunday. It's the transition time, the changing of the seasons, all things being made new. The final Sunday before we head into Advent and the new liturgical year, and yet instead of triumphal celebration, we find ourselves in the middle of John's Passion narrative, well on our way to the cross. The text we read this morning comes in the middle of John's account of Jesus' last days. In just two chapters, 18 and 19, John takes us through the entirety of the saga, from Judas' betrayal of Jesus in the Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, to his trial, crucifixion, and the laying of the body in the tomb. There's a lot packed into these two chapters. Which is to say that, as we get to this morning's scripture, Jesus has already had a pretty rough week. What started as a low-key mountain retreat with friends to a favorite local camping site at the Mount of Olives has already erupted into a cacophony of violence, anger, and failed de-escalation attempts, despite Jesus' best efforts at maintaining peace. When Judas shows up with a mob, things get out of hand. There's yelling, there's confusion, Peter cuts somebody's ear off. From Gethsemane, Jesus was marched down the mountain to someone's house and interrogated for several hours. He's been tied up, punched in the face, dragged across town to Pilate's headquarters, and is now left to explain himself to an unsympathetic government official, while the leaders of the people who abducted him stand outside the office, declaring him a criminal and calling for his death. The pace is unrelenting, and the cross looms large. There is chaos, violence, and anger swirling around, and it's about to get a whole lot worse. And in the middle of this, we have this one-on-one interaction between Jesus and Pilate. And to be honest, it's a little weird. Are you the king of the Jews? Who told you that? Look, man, your people are calling for your life. What did you do? This is not my kingdom. Oh, so you are a king. You said that, not me. I'm here for the truth. I mean, really, what is this conversation? It's confusing. It's frustrating, and one gets the distinct impression that these people are talking past each other. I don't know about your Thanksgiving, but I'm willing to bet that some of us here just had several days of conversations like that and would be happy not to encounter them again in Scripture this morning. It's not what we were hoping for. And perhaps more to the point on this Christ the King Sunday, what does any of this have to do with the kingdom of God? Where is the hope in this? Why end the year in the middle of Jesus' passion narrative? Given how close we are to the new year, to Advent, and the tiny baby king, must we really take a detour to the crucifixion? It's tempting, all things considered, to brush past this moment, write it off as an esoteric sidebar in the lectionary, and rush forward to whatever comes next. But today I want to suggest to you that to do this would be to miss the good news. And while at first glance it might not be the news we thought we wanted, it may very well be the news we need. When I was planning this sermon, I thought I would be preaching about Pilate. He is, after all, the last person to have a sustained conversation with Jesus before he dies, and I wondered what we might learn from such a man. Pilate is a politician, a voice of authority, unilateral judge and jury, and he sits, so it seems, at the center of the narrative. Everything about him says he matters, so we should pay attention, right? Perhaps, but to be honest, the longer I sat with him, the more frustrated I became. I tossed and I turned and I studied and I wrote, caught up in his questions and unable to see my way through, while in my mind I heard this resounding, "Listen!" So I tried. "Are you the king of the Jews?" I listened to Pilate, and I heard the political issues that hung in the balance. How the question about Jesus' status as king of the Jews contains within it a potential death sentence if Pilate decides he's a threat to Rome. "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" I listened to Pilate, and I heard accusations and assumptions about what kind of person Jesus must be to be so hated by his own people. I noticed how Pilate kept his distance both from the crowd who brought Jesus to him and from Jesus himself, unsure who to believe, leaning on his own understanding. I heard the words of a man isolated and alone. "So you are a king." I listened to Pilate's questions and discovered within them the interwoven strands of empire and religion, fear and suspicion, violence undergirding authority, an unwillingness to consider other points of view, chaos, politics, despair. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Pilate's questions are heavy with the weight of the world, and as I sat in their shadow, I suddenly realized that is why we need this story. We need this story because it is full of those themes, and our tendency is to gravitate towards them, to identify with them. We need this story because this is not a story about Pilate's questions. It's a story about Jesus' answers. And Jesus' answers are good news. "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Listen! Can you hear it? Do you ask this on your own? Or did others tell you about me? Jesus responds to the storytelling and the fear-mongering and the threat of violence by asking us to reconsider who we're listening to and what it is they're saying, whose voice is being prioritized, and whose is being silenced. If Pilate's questions carry fear and violence, Jesus' answers reorient us. They shake us out of that fake news daze and ask us how we know what we know, ask us who we trust. All around the text this morning swirls suspicion, blame, and anger, and Jesus' voice cuts through it all to testify to the truth that those things are not the things that rule us, not the ones that last. Jesus, who has been beaten, Jesus, who's been up all night, Jesus, whose friends talked such a big game right before they turned against him, Jesus on trial in a legal system that was always rigged against him, Jesus looks Pilate in the face and says, "This is not my kingdom. Those people out there aren't behaving as my people. That mess out there, that violent, angry, spiteful, small, technically correct but practically cruel chaos out there, that's not how my reign goes. You want to call me a king? Those are your words, not mine. But that's not my kingdom. I came to bear witness to the truth, and those who belong to the truth will hear my voice." Can you hear it? Jesus' answers are an invitation, a way out of the chaos swirling around us, a testimony to the truth of God's kingdom. Jesus rebukes the priorities of earthly powers and principalities and rejects their claim on him and on us. This, then, is the good news of Christ, the revelation, the recreation, the world made new again in the midst of chaos, because on this Christ the King Sunday, beloved, Jesus' answers remind us that we belong to the truth that the chaos and the politics and the anger and the pain and the grief and the darkness do not win. Jesus walks into the pettiness, the smallness, and the exhaustion of our lives, coming right up to the seat of the thing that we think is most powerful, and issues a divine no. Jesus says, "This is not my kingdom," and he claims us for his own. Jesus' answers remind us that even when the crosses of the world loom large, the story does not end with crucifixion or even the tomb. It ends and begins in resurrection, the first and final answer, the embodiment of a world made new. And so, as we stand on the cusp of the unknown advent, at the end of this year, with all that we have carried swirling at our back, we are invited to lay down our burdens and give thanks for this word of hope that shines brightly in the darkness and claims us for its own. Amen.